It was unusual, perhaps extraordinary, for Senator Harry Reid to not be on hand when the 114th Congress first convened earlier this week. Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois had to stand in for Reid to handle the swearing-in of members. Meantime, Senator Reid was working from his Washington, D.C. home, recovering from injuries he sustained while exercising. Last Thursday, Senator Reid was using a resistance band in his home when it snapped and the band hit him in the face. Senator Reid broke multiple bones near his right eye, and he fell, breaking several ribs. So we've been wondering how Nevada's senior senator's doing. He joins us this morning from Washington. Senator Reid, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be with you.
How are you doing? I mean, I saw you on YouTube, and it looked like those were some pretty serious injuries.
Well, they don't look much better now.
No, I see.
Bruising has moved down in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happened? So everybody speculated he fell off a treadmill or whatever. Here's what happened. Every three days a week, I have an exercise routine. I do 250 sit-ups. I do some yoga-type stuff for a little while. And then I've been using for the last 3 or plus years these bands. And I use the one that's the second strongest you can get. It's dark gray. Anyway, I do those things hundreds of times 3 days a week. I do different routines. And I was doing almost finished at my new home in Nevada. And the band broke. And it catapulted me backwards and to one side. I crashed into a series of cabinets we have. And fortunately, it missed my temple by just a little tiny bit.
Hmm.
And it hit me in my right eye. And it broke a number of bones around my eye and broke 4 ribs and a few bruises other places. It was hard to believe. I was there. My wife, fortunately, was there with me, and we had a good day planned. But anyway, so, you know, I got hurt, and the doctors have been taking, there was Dr. Niebauer, an ophthalmologist in Las Vegas. He was very, very good and thoughtful. I have a series of physicians back here who are doing everything they can to resolve my problem with my right eye. But it's not going to be resolved tomorrow. It's going to take a little bit of time. For example, next week, they've suggested we have a retreat in Baltimore, and they didn't want me driving over there because of bumps in the road.
Hmm.
I basically am working from home, and I think I'm doing pretty good. I just hung up now, talking to Senator Durbin, talked to Senator Schumer already today several times, and I think I've done a good job of directing my crew without my actually being physically present in the Capitol.
Now, Bloomberg reported that you've temporarily lost sight in your right eye. Have doctors told you you'll recover your vision?
Well, they're very hopeful, but, you know, this isn't anything that is a slam dunk. I had serious injury in my eye. There's blood accumulation there, and they're hoping that resolves itself. As long as the blood is in the eye, it's hard to see the eye every place because it's all the instruments they use, you can't see if there's blood in the way.
So anyway, they're
hopeful, and I'm just following their orders. That's why it's a day-to-day deal. Next week, they didn't want me going to Baltimore, and so I'll work from home here. I directed the conference, so we've been working on that for several months.
Okay, so Doc, it sounds like Doc...
I fell off a treadmill. I was doing what I have done for years. I have fairly... rigorous exercise routine, as most people know. I used to run a lot. Now I walk a lot. So anyway, try to stay in shape.
Okay, but it sounds like the doctors are saying they're optimistic your right eye will recover, but there is a possibility that you may not recover sight there.
Well, David, you have to I'm sure you've been around physicians, and they don't tell you too much. I have great confidence. They're doing everything they can to help me, and I'm following their orders and directions. You know, there are things that... I'm more dependent on my staff now because I'm not to be reading a bunch of emails and stuff like that. Because if you have one bad eye and one good eye, and you overwork the good eye, it puts too much pressure on the bad eye. So, you know, they basically told me to be very careful in how I strain my eye. For example, exercise is not even a question now and in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I mean, I got out and walked for yesterday. Today I walked for 25 minutes, but it's not, I'm not going to win any walking contest, but I'm out walking.
Mm. Yep. There are some pundits and certainly critics who will speculate that this accident suggests you don't have the energy and stamina to lead Democrats in the Senate. What's your response going to be when that comes up?
Well, let's just talk about the physical aspect of it. You have a lot of people listening to your radio program. I don't know how many people out there could sit down and do 250 push-ups or do the strengthening exercises I did with those bands hundreds and hundreds of times, every week, three times a week. So no one has questioned my physical ability. I've always been fairly confident in my ability to fight back, and I'm going to continue to fight back. And as far as the Senate goes, you know, I've been elected to run the Senate for 2 years, and I'm in the process now of I've been set back a little bit, but I'm in the process of getting set up for the next go-around.
Has the accident changed your view on whether you'll run again in 2016?
No, not really. No.
All right. We're talking with U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Senator Reid, today the Nebraska Supreme Court, in a split decision, cleared the way for the Keystone XL pipeline. Does that mean that the Keystone pipeline will move forward during this Congress?
You know, one of the biggest farces we have that's been created has been this Keystone pipeline. Your listeners should understand it creates 35 permanent jobs. The only people that benefit from this pipeline are foreign countries, Canada, and where else they ship this oil. This is a just such a, to think that this is doing anything for jobs is like saying that red is white. It just is no possibility that's going to be good for the economy and certainly not good for the environment. It has taken a life of its own, and it's been used for political purposes. And it is just not going to, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm confident the president is going to veto it, and good. I hope he does.
Yeah, he has said he would veto any such bill. Republicans control both the U.S. House and Senate now, and leadership in both houses have made passing legislation to move forward on Keystone a top priority. I would gather that you think that the legislation should be vetoed if it makes it to the president's desk?
David, let's see what's happened this week. Let's think about this a little bit. My successor, the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, has said that these great job numbers we have, the millions and millions of jobs we've created, has all been up to them. They have blocked everything we've tried to do, as most everyone knows. So now what he would like is this Keystone issue. What he would like is for it just to whip out of the Congress. They would pass it and send it to the White House with very little discussion, and that way they would have an issue. But that's not going to happen that way. There are amendments that people are going to offer that they should. For example, should all this oil that will be created out of the tar sands in Canada, should that all be shipped overseas? Those pipelines, should all those jobs go to steel companies in China? Shouldn't we be ones building those pipelines? And the answer is yes. The pipe that we would put in the line should be constructed here in America.
We're going
to offer some amendments.
Amendments are coming. Okay.
Pardon me?
So amendments are coming. You're going to be offering some.
Oh, sure. Of course. That's what we should do, even though my friend Senator McConnell would like this thing just to whip out of there, and they would try to keep the issue. The more light that is shown on Keystone, the dimmer the project becomes.
We are talking with Senator Harry Reid. It's his first interview since his accident last week. If you have questions for Senator Reid, you can join our conversation at 702-258-3552. Again, that's 702-258-3552. You can also write us online if you've got questions you want to pass along that way, knprnews.org, and our Twitter handle is @knprnews. I want to shift to latest jobs report, Senator. 252,000 new jobs were created last month nationwide, and the nation's jobless rate dropped to 5.6% last month. That's the lowest level since 2008. I assume that you don't necessarily credit Senator McConnell and the Republican minority in the Senate for those numbers, but rather Democratic leadership and President Obama?
That is a gross understatement, of course.
I mean, you know, I thought it might be.
When they have worked for 6 years to do what they said they would do, that is, make sure that Obama was not reelected, they failed there. The next thing they agreed to do the day after he was elected is oppose everything that he wanted, and they've done that. In spite of all that, we have been very, very strong in pushing through legislation so important. We were able to do something with Dodd-Frank to stop Wall Street from doing what it did to us before. We have now health care that millions and millions of people have health care that would never have had it before. We have now have FDA regulation of tobacco, which is one of the things that has been so difficult to get our arms around. There's the Lilly Ledbetter legislation, which has been so important to making sure that women who do the same work get paid the same as a man. So, you know, we're satisfied, but they have done things that have hurt the economy. How about student loans? Why in the world should parents and students themselves be paying outrageous numbers they have to for student loans? It's the largest debt we have in America, larger than credit cards or anything else, is student loans. They stop that. Minimum wage, they stop that. And on with the things that they, if they had cooperated with us just a little bit, the economy would be even stronger than it is now.
Now, there's something I wanted to ask you about wages. Wages haven't quite followed the line with the jobless rate. Wages were up in November. Now they are back down. Critics are saying wages are not keeping pace with the cost of living. Are these new jobs, by and large, low-paying jobs?
No, these stats show that during the last year, there's been really a good movement. There's a shortage of labor in certain areas. As a result of that, of course, wages go up. And we have the manufacturing industry that is doing as well as anyone ever expected. Now, it would be unfair to this administration if I didn't say about the economy. Think where the economy would be if we didn't have programs like Cash for Clunkers, if we didn't have a program, people remember that, we would give, people could get new cars by turning in their old beat-up cars. And what about the bailout of Detroit? You know, that our automobile industry was going down, down, down. Now, since that time, hundreds of thousands of jobs have been created, and the Republicans opposed all those measures, every one of them.
All right, so
we've done well with the economy. Now, is it perfect? Not a chance. We still have a long ways to go. And in Nevada, we were doing okay. You know, we were able to work hard, and I give Governor Sandoval credit for being so easy to work with. As far as I was concerned on Tesla, as some of you may know, I have a relationship with Elon Musk, and I helped that as much as I possibly could, which I think was helpful. We've got that. We've got the casino industry in southern Nevada doing well. In northern Nevada, there was a company agreed just a couple of days ago that they would bring 400 jobs from California to Nevada, and those jobs will pay an average of $60,000 a year, 400 of them. So we need to do better, but we're doing okay.
And yet, while the economy may be gradually recovering, how do we close the gap between rising costs and, for many of us, rather stubbornly flat paychecks? What can Congress do there?
David, the one thing that we need to do is understand in America today, we need to help the middle class. That's where the help is needed. The rich are getting richer. I got a call from one of my boys, a wonderful young man. His friend went to school with him. He he paid, it's in newspapers, no secret, he paid $35 million for his new home in New York. How do you like that? So I'm happy he's doing well, but the rich are doing fine. They don't need more help. Who needs the help are middle class. That's where we're talking about wages aren't keeping up with the minimal inflation that we have.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. If you have questions for Senator Harry Reid, Dean joins us from Tonopah. Dean, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, Senator Reid. My question is, the gas prices are not going to stay low forever. The economy is good now. I think it's good, strong. It was certainly better than it was. What's going to happen when the gas prices go up? How long, you know, the pendulum swings? How long do you think the economy is going to stay good? And the other question was a book by Rodney Stitch, "Defrauding America."
What was the name of it? I'm sorry.
Could turn out to be the most explosive book on the market.
Give the name of that book again?
"Defrauding America."
"Defrauding America." Okay.
And it's called, on the back says, could turn out to be the most explosive book on the market. Stitch's book and documentation illustrates a pattern of related scandals at the highest echelons of the U.S. government, such as the CIA, the DEA, the FBI, Department of Justice, and every other alphabet agency you can think of. And HARP, The Observer. Now, since the 50s, the CIA and the DEA have been bringing drugs into America.
Okay, Rodney, for time purposes.
Through MENA Airport.
Rodney, for time purposes, can you. Dean, I'm sorry. Dean, can you phrase that? Have you got a question for Senator Reid?
Well, the corruption level of Putin is bad, but the corruption level in America is not very, you know, nothing to be proud of. And, you know, it's just, you have to read this book by Rodney Stitch, S-T-I-C-H.
Okay. All right. Dean, thanks very much. Appreciate your call. Senator Reid?
Yeah, first of all, with gas prices, we should all be happy that the price of oil is low. And the longer it's low, the better off we are. I think it's extremely important that as long as it's low, people who are not so good to us, take for example Russia, they're struggling very, very hard. Now, in Nevada, we've got not only the gaming industry, the tourism industry, but we have the mining industry, which is extremely strong. And the price of gold has been going up with the price of oil going down. So, you know, I'm not an economist. I study things the best I can. But I think that the price of oil being down, much of it is attributed to what we've done in America. And that is, with the policies that this administration has had to allow exploration in places that had not been done before, and we are the largest holder of natural gas in the world. So we've made a lot of progress. So we'll follow the price of oil very closely, as we should. But we're no longer sitting in the back seat saying, I wonder what's going to happen to oil. We are a driver of the price of oil now.
All right. Senator Reid, thank you very, very much for joining us today, and get well soon.
Well, I'm happy to be able to talk to you. It's no secret that I love public radio. I listen to it every day. And in that I've had to rest my eyes back here. I listen to it a lot more than I have. I always listen to it at least an hour a day, but I've been many hours a day listener the last few days.
Well,
thank you very much, David.
We are grateful to have you with us among our listeners, Senator Reid. Thanks again for being with us.